Hi, I'm Femi Okeh. Thanks for watching the stream. Earlier on Wednesday, the stream asked some residents in Port-au-Prince what it is like living in Haiti's capital right now. This is what Jean Nadi and Jean-Pierre told us.
Insecurity is well planned to create fear in the country, because it is very bizarre that a person cannot even buy a sandal and yet have a big gun. All of these weapons go through customs. This means our whole country is caught in a scheme.
With the situation the country is in, the government should do something to solve the problem of insecurity, because no one is spared. No one could have thought it would be this bad. Now it is the gangs that have replaced the government. And in the areas they control, they are called the community leaders, because they are more powerful than the state.
Today on the stream, deadly gang violence in Haiti. What can be done about it? That is our conversation. You're very welcome to join us right here in the comment section on YouTube. This is such a pressing conversation. Let me introduce you to your panel, Valina, Jameson, John Jr. Good to have all three of you with us. Valina, please greet our audience. Tell them who you are, what you do.
Hi, everybody. Hi, I'm Jean Junior and Jameson. I'm Valina Elise Chaudier. I'm a member of Nupap Domi. Nupap Domi is an activist group based in Haiti fighting against corruption, impunity, and for social justice.
Good to have you. Jameson, welcome to the stream. Nice to have you on board. Please introduce yourself to our audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Once again, thank you for having me. I'm Jameson Prentice, and I am a journalist at Aibu Post. In online media in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Good to have you. And John Jr., welcome to the stream. Please introduce yourself to our international audience around the world. Tell them who you are and what you do.
I am Jean Junior Joseph. I am a member of the government, and I'm also the Prime Minister Ariel Henry's advisor.
All right, I want to start, thank you, Jean Junior, for being with us. I want to start with with Jameson and also Valina. We asked our camera person in Port-au-Prince earlier today to go and talk to people on the street in Port-au-Prince, ask them what it was like living there in the current security situation. I could see scooters going on in the background, there were cars going around, people wandering around. Valina, how serious is it in Port-au-Prince in terms of you feeling that you can go about your daily life?
There is no life. So it's that serious. There is no life in Haiti. There's no security. There is complete impunity. There is corruption. There are gangs that are killing us. Haitians are dying. We're dying from gangs violence. We're dying from kidnapping. We're dying at sea because we're trying to flee the country to go get to better shores. We are dying from hunger. We are dying for an economic situation that is at its lowest, and inflation is as high as 29%. We are dying from lack of the basics. So we are dying from a government that is quite silent and inactive about what's happening. So there is no life in Haiti. You go daily and you try to make do with what you have, what you can, but every day that you get out of your house, you know that you may not come back. So every day you cherish the little moment that you have with your family a bit more. You kiss and you hug the kids a bit tighter because you may not come back. And even when you make it back home, there is no guarantee that you're not going to die from a stray bullet right in your living room or in your garden, or that somebody at night, some bandits, some criminal at night are not going to come and kidnap you. People, quiet citizens, are fleeing their neighborhoods because of gang wars. So there is no life in Haiti. There is no day-to-day life. We are surviving Haiti. That's all we're doing.
Valina, I'm going to bring in Jameson here. Jameson, I'm just looking here at the publication that you work with and you have worked with for the past 3 years. I'm just going to have a look at some of these current headlines. These women live in Cité Soleil. Then the gang started fighting. Another story here. Death by stray bullets in Port-au-Prince. In the past 3 years, what has changed with the level of gang violence for Haitians?
Well, I could not say better than Valina. Yes, for the last 3 years, we are living in constant fear. When you go on the street, you see that people are frightened because, as Delina said, you don't know if when you leave home, if you will be able to get back, because you don't know if you won't get kidnapped on the streets. And as well, a lot of people have left the country as well. We don't know exactly how many people have left, but a lot of people are leaving because they can't live anymore in the country. And those who are not living are planning on leaving. And for the last 2 years as well, you have gangs anywhere. So Port-au-Prince is surrounded by gangs that have better, deadlier weapons than the police. So we're just frightened. We're just frightened. We're just afraid.
So this is a gang battle that the government appears to be losing, Jean Junior. As you're a senior advisor to the Prime Minister, what is he thinking about the current situation? How is he able to help Haitians on the ground?
Well, right now in the police unit, there are some good police officers. There are those who are who are not very proud to be police officers. Those who are very good police officers, they did some good jobs, and they even stopped certain kidnappings. They went to many poor neighborhoods where the guns are, and currently they've been arresting and defending the population. And also one thing that is clear: Haiti is not Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince is not Haiti either. So we have 10 departments, and right now, currently, people go to the north. They actually have in social media, they even say that some hotels in the north are sold out. So I understand in the capital there are situations that are very, very difficult. But the government is taking this very seriously, and they've been meeting with the police units, with the SWAT teams, to make sure that we have equipment so that we can address the situation and accordingly.
You make a good point about Port-au-Prince not being
Haiti. If I may jump in.
Felina, please, go ahead.
I'm sorry, let me jump in. I just want to clarify something from what Jean Junior just said. Yes, Haiti is not only Port-au-Prince. I'm from Gonaïves, I'm from the north. I haven't been able to make it home to Gonaïves safely, quietly with my kids, for the past 10 years. There is always something on the road. There are always gangs on the road. There were gangs in Savien. There were gangs in Marchand des Salines. Now there are gangs in Canaan by Cité Soleil. So I cannot make it out. I was going to Gonaïves with my 3 daughters, and I was pregnant at the time. We got caught into shooting, and my car was hit. So yes, Haiti is not only Port-au-Prince, but the violence that we are seeing in Port-au-Prince, it's picking up in other cities as well. And moving from Port-au-Prince to other cities is hell. Port-au-Prince has been cut from the south for more than a year now. So yes, the police, I don't want to be too hard on the police. The police is doing what they can with the little that they have. But at the same time, it must be said that the police is not doing enough, that the justice system is inexistent. And the very little that the police does, the few times that they do arrest somebody in the justice system goes right back and put them out again. It's as if the state is fighting against us, the citizen. And when we are saying that hotels are booked in Cape Haitien, who can go to Cape Haitien? Who? Not us Haitians living in the country. Probably people from the diaspora trying to find their way home to visit their family. But what we are talking about, what is hard, the violence that we're seeing, the gangs that are killing more than thousands of people, the thousands of kids that are left orphaned, what are we telling to them? That the hotels are booked in Cape Haitien? That the country is not only Port-au-Prince? Is that what the government is saying to us? That move to Cape Haitien because there is more security to Cape Haitien? I don't understand that. And I don't think anybody from the government should be saying that.
Let me bring in some thoughts here from our audience who are watching online on YouTube. Can you explain what is the biggest motivation for the gang violence? this really helps us go in the direction of then how do you stop it? Jameson.
First of all, I think it's about, election. I mean, whenever you talk about election in the country, whenever there seems to be preparation for election, you will see a rise in gang violence. But as well, it's linked to the political situation, because the last 2 or 3 years, if you are to believe reports from local organization, local human rights organization, you understand that the gangs have strong ties with people in power. So people in power trying to control the area where the gangs are operating. So yes, this is I think that this is their first motivation, and as well it's economic, because when you kidnap someone and you ask for I don't know hundreds of dollars, and then the person needs to pay to be free, of course it's a strong motivation for them, because they are making a lot of money with that. That's what I think.
Jean Jr., when we said that we were going to do this program about gang violence in Haiti, we asked our audience, our community, what needs to happen to stop gang violence. Musa here on Twitter said, I think it always comes back to money. Law enforcement in many countries is corrupt or underfunded, making it easy for them to succumb to bribes or being captured by gang leaders. If there's no law enforcement, of course, these gangs will do whatever they feel. There are so many issues. Do you find that the underfunding of the police in Haiti, is that a major issue here with controlling the gangs? Because if the police can't do it, who's going to do it?
Well, number one, as I said earlier, Haiti is not Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince is not Haiti. And that's clear about that. I'm clear about that.
Yeah, you said and that, number, and I didn't two. Mention Port-au-Prince yes, in then, my conversation with you. I was asking about then, underfunding and, of police.
And then number two, when you talk about warfare weapons, Haiti is under embargo for the past 20 to 30 years. For some reasons, even under President Aristide, because of the issues with the coup d'etat, there was it was not easy for Haitian governments to have warfare weapons. So the gangs, for some reasons, they have a huge network where they can have warfare weapons, and most of those weapons, they come from the U.S. customs. From the U.S. customs, they get importation to Haiti, and then from the customs in Haiti, they get to the gangs. So this huge network they do have, and then is now all over the country, there is no control over the gangs, because you're talking about almost more than 80 gangs, organized gangs. So now the thing is, the government, Prime Minister Ariel Henry, doesn't deal with gangs, and that is clear. The Prime Minister Ariel Henry never sat down with gangs members to actually negotiate with them.
The current transitional government has never had any negotiations, no relationship with the gangs in Haiti,
Not at all. And then it was clear. The Prime Minister said that many times on his speeches. And then the Prime Minister doesn't deal with gangs, and that is clear. When sometimes in the social media they can say whatever they say, but the truth is he doesn't deal with gangs. So they have a way to actually find the warfare weapons, and they concentrate some of them in the poor neighborhoods. They do kidnappings, they do whatever they have to do. But we know for sure that the police units, they need more equipment to deal with this warfare, urban warfare situation here.
So, Vilina, there is a popular line of thinking in Haiti is that the reason why the gangs are so powerful is because they are allowed to be that powerful. Are people misinformed?
We are not misinformed. They are allowed to be so powerful. And it's the entire system that works that way. There is an embargo. Jean Junior just said it. There is an embargo on guns and ammunition in Haiti. How in the world can those gangs be better equipped? They never run out of weapons. They never run out of ammunition. And everything that is coming to Haiti is coming by sea or by the border with the Dominican Republic. So who is letting them in? Who in the government is in charge of our borders, who is in charge of our border with the Dominican Republic, who is in charge of the port, because that's where they are coming from. They're not coming from the sky. It's not rain. But they never run out of weapons and ammunition. And whenever there is a gang wars in the different neighborhood, like in Cité Soleil, where there were close to 500 people dead killed in less than 10 days, then what did the police do? We are not seeing any strong will from the government, because let's make it clear, it's not only the police in Haiti that is in charge of our security. There is also what we call the CSPN, the council that is in charge of that, who the prime minister is the head of. So that it's a shared responsibility in between the politics and the police. So the police does not have enough equipment. They are not well trained, and they do not have a will, because a lot of them are corrupt. But at the same time, we are not seeing a politic will from the prime minister. Jean Junior may say that the prime minister is not dealing with gangs. Who am I to know if he is dealing with gangs or not? I am just a normal citizen who can see that the gangs always have the upper hand. They never run out of ammunition or weapons. And these ammunition and weapons are coming by sea, by land. And it's the government who is in charge of making sure that what's getting in the country
okay, Felina, let's hear from the advisor to the prime minister. Jean Junier, I know that these are not new criticisms of the transitional government. What can you say to reassure Haitians that there is a strategy to beat the gangs?
It's very clear. Currently, it's been on the news that at the customs in Port-au-Prince, they actually stopped a big package of warfare weapons that was coming for Catholic Church. And currently in Port-au-Prince, in the north of West, they actually seized some ammunitions that came from other citizens. So the change of the Director General of the Customs that has made that was a big thing for us. And based on that, you can see in the weeks coming, there are going to be more seizures of warfare weapons at the customs. Because as Felina said earlier, it's clear that, I mean, you know, those guys in the poor neighborhoods, they do not fabricate warfare weapons. They do not have a factory of munitions. For some reasons, Of course, the government, I mean, is thinking about a strategy, but we have to understand
that. You're thinking about the strategy, but do you have a strategy? Because this must be quite frustrating for Haitians and also for people who care very deeply about Haiti. Can I give you a couple of thoughts from our audience who are also watching? Because I'm not hearing a strategy right now.
It's a step by step. Nothing can be done in one day. It's a step by step. They changed the Director General of the Customs. Why now? Currently, they've been actually seizing some warfare weapons. And then they have progressively, currently, they actually went to the West. I'm sorry?
Who has been arrested? What happened to the ones who were arrested?
Jean Junior, I gave you a second, Jean Junior, and now I'm taking that second back. Let me take it back because I'm going to involve some of our audience watching as well.
She said something I need to correct. She said, who was arrested? Not right now. There are people in jails who were involved, in the Catholic Church import of weapons and warfare weapons. And she knows that. Felina knows that. Of course,
In Port-au-Prince, whoever was arrested was released.
It's in process.
And you know that. You have to give the full story.
Felina, it's in process.
In Port-au-Prince, whoever was arrested got released.
Yes.
And that is the problem. Impunity is the
guests,
problem.
Take a pause for a moment. I promise our audience that they would also be part of this conversation, and I will deliver that. Jean Junior, please take a pause. Felina, please take a pause. From our audience, this is what they're saying. Catherine, jobs, 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 social services, they should be provided by foreign countries and run and profited by Haitians. This idea that Haiti needs outside assistance is not a new one. I want you to have a listen to the managing editor of the Haitian Times. This is what she told us a few hours ago.
From what we know about how gangs are used historically in Haiti, we know that they are backed by different government entities or people with economic interests to protect. And so when we understand that context, it's really important to know that the Haitian government, the current administration, is not in a position to really do much. So that's why in this situation, we're counting on the international community to help get Haiti out of this emergency situation. This goes beyond like a Haiti-led solution or political problem solving that we're talking about. This is Haitians in Haiti, people who need help to live because these gangs are killing them.
Let me just show you the United Nations Operation Integrated Office in Haiti. It's known as BINU. And BINU even recently complained about the gang violence. Let me just go to the translated version here. BINU calls on all armed individuals to immediately stop their acts of violence to allow free passage to the medical emergency services and encourages the national authorities to ensure the protection of the civilian population. This is international help that is available to Haiti, but is it working, John Junior? Is this enough?
Well, say that again. I was reading the Twitter, but I was not paying attention to what you just the question. Can you please go again, please?
International help. BINU is in Haiti right now. How helpful is the United Nations to Haiti's situation with gang violence, where civilians are scared to leave their homes in some parts of Haiti?
Well, as you probably have read, the OAS, the Organization of American States, they sent a note like on Monday saying that MINUSTAH left Haiti and now we have BINU there. And then the way they put the note, it's like they are blaming themselves. So in the government, we believe that, you know, we can actually reactivate a strong diplomacy to move so that the situation that we have right now can be solved by the entire, like a collectivity, because we're not going to say that we're going to give solution to ourselves. Because MINUSTAH was there, of course. I mean, now they left. And now there is BINU. BINU, you know, it's not perfect. No. But we can say that.
Let me share this question with Valina, if I may, because, of course, you're an advisor to the Prime Minister. You can't say anything critical about BINU if they're there trying to help the current administration. Valina, if you're going to be absolutely honest and candid about the UN in Haiti, how helpful are they in this current situation with gang violence?
I'm going to say that the international community is not innocent into what's happening in Haiti. Most of what's happening in Haiti, most of the situation that we are going through in Haiti is their responsibility. And they should take full responsibility for putting us in that situation. The UN has been present in Haiti for the past 15 years. They have spent billions of dollars, more than $10 billion. When they left, we had the cholera, we had the rapes, we had the kids without father, and we had the gang violence. We had many more gangs, much more gangs than we never had before. We had a huge political, economic, and society crisis. Haiti has never been so bad, with the UN being right. present.
Valina.
More than the UN, with the United States of America
Valina,
trying to rule this country.
You get the last word, and it's a very sobering one at that, the last sentence. Haiti has never been so bad. I appreciate you, Jameson, who was with us a little bit earlier, John Jr. and Valina, and your comments and questions on YouTube as well. Thanks for watching today's episode. I'll see you next time.